All right. First of all, found Numbers chapter 6, and we'll start reading in the first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. Let's read verse 6. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father, or for his mother, for his brother, or for his sister, when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation he is holy unto the Lord. Let's ask God's blessing on our time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Lord, we pray as we look into it that you'll bless us with understanding and challenge us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What if we saw a person come into our church, a man that had long hair? We probably wouldn't think very much of that, because when we go out in society, that's not an evil, that's not wrong. Turn that down a little bit, please. It's not wrong in society for a man to have long hair, although it is in the Bible. Now, what if we saw that person out at the restaurant and they did not have any pop to drink? Well, that would be kind of strange as well, but nonetheless, we think maybe they're just trying to cut a few calories. What if you know that they had a brother that just passed away and he was a good friend of yours, and you went to his funeral and you looked around, you looked down the front row and he wasn't there? And you started to scan the crowd and it turns out that he's not there for his brother's funeral. That would be very strange. Nobody misses a funeral unless there's something seriously wrong. What's held in common by these characteristics is that was the ingredients or the portions of the Nazarite vow that a person would make to God. The word Nazarite literally means a separated one. So somebody that was part of the whole and they're taken out and they're separate for a certain purpose. And the root word of Nazarite indeed means to separate. I believe that Nazarites to the Jewish culture, what Christians are to be to the world, and then also to mediocre Christians. The Nazarites were a shining light. They were examples of consecration and holiness to God. So God wants us to be a bright and shining light like those Nazarites were to their society. He wants us to be to the world. We have some examples of Nazarites in Scripture. And my dad said, I don't have much time to preach tonight, so we're not going to look at each one of them. But we know Samson, before he was born, the angel came to his mother and said that he would be a Nazarite all the days of his life. So Samson, Samuel was most likely a Nazarite because his mother promised God that no razor would come to his head, which is one of the requirements for a Nazarite. Also, John the Baptist, he drank no wine, the Bible tells us, and so we believe he also may have been a Nazarite. And then we read about Paul. Now, Paul was what you might call a normal Nazarite, because normally it wasn't a lifelong way of life. But now let's look at the three characteristics of the Nazarite vow, and I think we can glean some Christian principles from them. First of all, verses 3 and 4, we know separate himself from wine and strong drink. Now, there's a reason behind that, and no, wine is not talking about alcohol here. If there was any alcoholic content, it's nothing like what we have today. Today's alcohol, they, by design, put as much as they can into that alcohol. Well, what they had in the Bible days, if there was any alcoholic content, it was very, very, very small. In fact, they used the alcohol for its right purpose to cleanse their drinking water and make it pure to drink. But anyway, so we have no misunderstanding. He's not talking about what you go out and buy in the store. That's not the kind of wine that we're talking about. But nonetheless, he is to eat no wine or any fruit of the vine. Now, the reason behind this is because the grape juice in their society, or the fruit of the vine, that was one of their chief pleasures. Now, today we have an over-exaggeration on taste. And why do you think McDonald's fares so well, or Burger King, or all those fast food restaurants? Well, they cater to our convenience, but they cater to our taste buds. When we go to the store, what do we pick? Do we eat any wheats to eat? Or do we get some cereal that tastes a little better? Personally, I like mini wheats, but that's something that's healthy and may not have as much taste as maybe Lucky Charms with those marshmallows. Who can deny themselves of that? But taste is a very commercialized pleasure today, just as grape juice was for them. They didn't have all these store-bought goods. They had their grains was their principal diet and meat. Well, the purpose behind having no wine or produce of the vine is, I believe, found in 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul gives us a principle that we need to apply in our lives. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He's giving us an example of the way to run for Christ. I'll go ahead and start in verse 26. He's talking about running a race to get the crown. He says, "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But here's the principle, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." So what's Paul saying? He says, I am keeping control of my body. I am going to not let it have its will and way. Because we know that temptation comes from the devil. There's no doubt about that. We're not tempted of God. The devil tempts us, the world tempts us, and our very own flesh will tempt us. And so Paul says, I'm not going to let my flesh have its will and way and run havoc with my life. I'm going to keep control, which we know is a fruit of the Spirit, it's temperance, keeping our body under subjection to the Spirit of God. So the purpose behind this was to keep desires in check. Because we know sometimes our innocent desires can start to feed, and before we know it, they have control over us. You know, careless little sins or distractions will soon get the mastery of our Christian life. And so we ought not let our love for earthly things grow too strong in our life, because it will diminish our desire for the Word of God. And not only were they not to have grape juice, but also says nothing of the vine. It says in verse 4, nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk. So it says nothing at all from the vine. Now I think there's a principle there as well, because they're taking the utmost care to avoid sin. But not just avoiding sin, all that borders upon sin. Also, anything that might lead to sin, or it could even be a temptation. The Bible very simply states to abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks wrong, then it's not right for the Christian. It's just that simple. And so they were to have no wine and no produce of the vine, because they were to keep themselves pure, to deny themselves of that pleasure for the Lord. Not only that, but secondly, they were not to cut their hair. Now there's a purpose behind this. In fact, there's more than one. But it's for neglect of the body. What do we learn? We learn that we keep our hair short as men because that's the way God wants us to be. We learn from the New Testament. And taking care of our body and grooming is something that we do every day. We might tend to place a preoccupation on our physical appearance. And so the Nazarite was not to be overly concerned with their body. Now here's a principle that we need in our Christian lives. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I just noticed I have the wrong reference there. What the Bible was saying, though, this verse is talking about the proper order in the Christian life. We have the phrase body, soul, and spirit. But if you look in the Bible, you'll never see that order. And the verse that I'm looking for, it says our soul, our spirit, and our body. The body is mentioned last because God says that ought to be our last priority. Physical things need to take a back seat to God's spiritual matters. Matters in our life. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I help him out sometimes when he's at the pulpit. I guess he's getting to return the favor tonight. Okay, I did have the right verse at first. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the truth. We see the biblical order that we need to have in our Christian life. Our body is not to have first place. And yet as we look at the movies at Hollywood, we look at the world's music, we see the world's dress on TV, they have their preoccupation on the only thing they know, and that's their body. But God says it ought not be so with a Christian. God knows that we love our flesh. And I'm turning to a passage in Ephesians. We don't need to turn there. But Ephesians 5:29, the Bible says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but he nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church." So we all love our flesh. We're going to take care of ourselves. We're not just going to run recklessly outside and it'll catch a cold. We're going to put our coats on before we go home. We all love our flesh, but sometimes it would do us good to neglect our body for a little bit if our spiritual side is undone. Because the vow, I believe, in not cutting their hair, that would help them to love their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength. And so putting God in first place where He deserves to be. And so they're serving God and not their flesh or fleshly appearances. Also, I believe behind a Nazarite vow is also the idea of reproach. Because it is a shame unto a man to have long hair. And so that's not a desirable attribute. In our twisted world today, it is. They think that that's the new style or the style of the rock and roll crowd. But the fact is, it was a reproach and it was shameful to not cut their hair. Here's something I found interesting. From Jewish culture, the typical Nazarite vow would last for 30 days. And if they wanted to maybe be extra spiritual, they might do it for double time and do 60 days or 2 months. But if they really wanted to go all out for this Nazarite vow, they might do it for 90 days or up to 100 days. Now, if the normal time was 30 days, this is a rabbit trail. If they would not cut their hair for 30 days, how short would it have to be to notice in 30 days that they had not cut their hair? So that ought to help give us perspective of how long is long in the Bible when it says it's a shame. In 30 days, you should know the difference of whether a man has short hair to long hair. And so we understand that they kept their hair short, naturally. And so the purpose was also reproach, suffering for Christ. And don't we know that Jesus says that we need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and to follow Him. God wants us to suffer reproach and shame for His name. That's what the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts says. They were glad to suffer for His name. They were beaten and thrown in prison. Their names were dragged through the mud. You know, they counted it a privilege to suffer reproach for Christ. So the Nazarite did as well in not cutting their hair. But also, I think behind this, it is an outward symbol of what's taking place on the inside. Their act of devotion to God needs to manifest itself. And as we are supposed to be devoted to God completely as Christians, we need to show it. The world needs to see there's a difference. There ought to be a difference in our dress. We know these things. There ought to be a difference in our language. There ought to be a difference in our attitude. That all reflects Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. But it's a visible manifestation of their consecration to God. And so they didn't cut their hair. But also they were to avoid pollution of a dead body. Now, we don't have this custom in our culture. We don't have the ceremonial cleanliness or uncleanliness of our bodies, but they did. And so we'll try to understand their ways here. In verse 7 it says, "He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head." And in verse 8 it talks about being holy unto the Lord. So they were ceremonially unclean. Also the high priest, if he would go to the funeral of his brother, sister, mother, father, immediate family, he was therefore unclean and disqualified from divine service. We can't fully grasp the concept there, but they were not allowed to serve God in their position as a high priest if that man had come in contact with a dead body. And so there's a purpose behind this as well. That is that we make God stronger than any natural desire that we have. I believe this is echoed in the New Testament as well. I'm going to turn there. Out of the book of Luke, Jesus is speaking here. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. God is not telling, Jesus is not speaking, saying you need to hate your mom, you need to hate your dad, your brothers and sisters. What he's saying is, if you can't love me, and if they're against me, if you're not against them, then there's a problem, because God is not first place. That's what he's trying to say. So the Nazarite was preferring their duty to God over the indulgence of strongest of natural affection. So God was to supersede any strong desire that they had in their life. That was the idea behind polluting, or not coming in contact or being polluted by a dead body. So God needs to be our chief relationship in our life. That's what we're trying to learn here. So that's why they couldn't go near the dead body for the length of time that they had set for their vow. And now let's turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 4. Right after the book of Jeremiah, have Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the book of Lamentations. Let's go to chapter 4. We want to look at verse 7. This is written during a very dark time. Jeremiah is writing before a siege, and these are going to be the conditions during it. He's going to see his own people treated very treacherously and taken captive. In Lamentations 4:7, it says, her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. And so what they're saying is that God blessed them. And what it's referring to is God blessed them in their physical appearance. Because they were denying themselves the things that brought joy. God says, I'm going to reward you for it. So God richly blessed their devotion and the dedication to Him. We know that God will bless our dedication and devotion as well. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So whenever we get discouraged, if we are suffering for Christ like the Nazarites did, God is going to make it up to us. So we can always take encouragement. Now, we cannot be Nazarites today, and so how does that apply to our life today? Because there is no high priest, there's no tabernacle or temple that we can go to fulfill the duties of the Nazarite. So we can't do that today. But I believe the principles can apply. Perhaps we could give up something that we enjoy for a set period of time for God's glory. I believe we can do that. Perhaps something that's time-consuming. Something that we know that has a very strong desire in our heart. Maybe it's a hobby. But whatever it is, we need to keep our desires in check. Paul says, I keep under my body. I keep it in subjection. Sometimes distractions enter into our lives. Most notably, think about this. When it dawns on you that I haven't read my Bible yet today, I need to do that. Or I haven't prayed today, I need to do that. Then you don't always do it, do you? Something comes in the way first. Well, what is your distraction that keeps you from God? Whatever is that roadblock that's in the way, perhaps that would be something that you could give up for a set period of time for God's glory. That'll help change your focus and realign your priorities so that God takes first place. So maybe something that's time consuming. And no, that's not saying go quit your job. That might be nice some days, but for some of us that may just happen unintentionally. But those distractions, we need to keep our desires in check because God needs to be first. Also, maybe perhaps something that's enjoyable, like food or maybe just dessert for a set period of time. This would be like what we do when we fast. Now, fasting, you're specifically praying or reading your Bible. But I think we could give up something that may be enjoyable so that we can serve God a little more effectively. The Nazarites gave up some things that they enjoyed. So really, the application, you have to think of it for your own life. You have to make personal application, and you know how you can do that. And ask God if there's something that He would have you to give up. Maybe not forever, but just for a period of time that isn't sin, so that you can serve God more fully. And of course, we know, wrapping it up, that God is well pleased with our willing sacrifice. See, the Nazarites were not required to do it. Now, the three Nazarites were for life. Yes, they they didn't have a choice in the matter. But the normal Nazarite had a choice. Whether it be a man or woman, they could choose to become a Nazarite. God is well pleased when we willingly sacrifice for Him. Perhaps joy or pleasure. God is well pleased when we separate to Him. The Nazarites were separated to God. God is well pleased when we shine for Him in our outward testimony. God is also well pleased when we suffer for Him, when we suffer reproach. So there's something that we can learn from an institution that was from thousands of years ago, the Nazarites. They gave up the joy in the fruit of the vine. They did not shave their hair. They suffered reproach. And they also, thirdly, would not be polluted in their service to God. And so we have a lot to learn from them. They were some great men of God that were greatly blessed. And so I think we can emulate by giving up some things for Christ to be for God's glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. Lord, we thank You for recording all things for us in Your Word that we can learn. Lord, I pray that if You're speaking to hearts tonight, Lord, of things that we might need to give up for You, Lord, I just pray that we'll have the courage to do what You want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.